You're listening to the ELT Chat podcast. Hello and welcome to the ELT Chat podcast. I'm James Taylor. Coming up on the show, I'll be talking to Sean Wilden about the upcoming ELT Chat themed symposium at the IATEFL conference in Glasgow. We'll catch up on the ELT Chat blog challenge as Alinda Gyonda-Day chats to Tara Benwell about bookmarking, and I'm joined by TESOL France President Bethany Cagnol to announce next month's challenge. Plus, Vicky Loris speaks to Icha Sawono about her love for ELT Chat. All here on the ELT Chat podcast. Okay, so to begin, I've got Sandy Millen on the line. Hello, Sandy.
Hi, James.
And we've had lots of great discussions since the last time we spoke. Can you give us an idea of some of the things we've spoken about?
We've talked about this month, we've talked a lot about critical thinking in teacher development and for students. And we've also talked about functional language, adult false beginners, syllabus design, teens, exam classes, and monitoring and feedback. So all lots of different areas of ELT.
Great. Can you pick up one chat that really stuck out for you?
For me, the chats about the two chats about critical thinking skills were particularly interesting. Critical thinking was something I first heard about through ELT Chat, so it's good to see it coming up in two different chats. In teacher development, the focus was on analysing professional development and not just regurgitating opinions that have been presented as fact, but really considering what people are putting out there. And for the students, it's encouraging students to apply reasoned and disciplined thinking to a subject, as one chatter said, and helping them to realise that there's no one right answer to most questions.
Yeah, it was a really interesting chat. I thought the chat about critical thinking regarding teacher development was really interesting, actually. I'd never thought of it in those terms before. So I thought that was a really unusual discussion that we had, but really, really worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree.
Was there any particular resource or idea that came to you this month that you thought was particularly different?
Well, there were two great ideas in the chat about exam skills, the difference between exam skills and general English. And there was a lot of debate about how to make the exam skills more relevant to the students' lives and not just testing for the exam. So two of the activities which I particularly liked were encouraging students to write to real people rather than the ones set in the exam tasks, and also getting students to write their own questions for tasks and compare them with the original ones.
So next month we have the IATEFL conference in Glasgow, Sandy, and I believe you're going.
I am indeed, yes. It will be my first international conference.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting up with lots of people from ELT Chat again, and also having my first opportunity to present to an international audience.
And of course we have the ELT Chat Symposium to look forward to as well, don't we?
Yes, we do. It will be interesting to see how people who don't know about Twitter and don't know about ELT Chat react to it.
Yes, well, stay listening for the rest of the podcast because we've got some news coming up about that right now, in fact.
Perfect.
Okay. Right, thank you, Sandy.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, so I've got Sean Wilden on the line here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, James.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You?
Yeah, not too bad, yeah. Thanks. We've got the ELT Chat Symposium coming up in March, and I think a lot of people are very excited about that. Can you tell me how the idea came about in the first place?
Like many of the things that take place in EL Chat, it just came by from the Twitter feed, really. It started out as a bit of a joke, I think, between a few people saying, oh, we should present at IATEFL, we should do something at IATEFL. So the moderator said, oh, why not? We had a think about it, and the next thing we know, we're putting in a proposal for a symposium, and now we're doing one. So if it wasn't for Twitter and it wasn't for people suggesting things on Twitter, we'd probably have a quieter time at IATEFL. But as it is, we're now going to run a 2.5-hour symposium.
It's fantastic. I think it's like all the best ideas. It happens through Twitter, right?
I think yeah, that Twitter is responsible for putting those seeds into people's heads, and once there's a seed there, some of us just can't let them go, I don't think.
So what can we expect from the symposium?
Well, what we try to do is we're not limiting it to ELT chat. What we actually wanted to do was give people the chance to talk about and consider professional development through the social networking sites, which I think has become quite a key thing that now happens not just through Twitter but online. I mean, a lot of us use the social networking tools for professional development. So we've given the symposium the catchy title of the Continuous Professional Development Through Social Networking Symposium, and I defy anybody to get that out in one breath. But so when we sort of started to think about what would be in it, we wanted to cover every aspect of it to give to teachers and people attending IATEFL and, of course, outside who will be following us, hopefully through Twitter, an idea of what can be done from it. The bonus is that all the moderators, the five moderators of ELT Chat, will all be speaking during the symposium as well. So if anybody's at IATEFL, it'll be the first time I think all five of us have been together. So it'll be interesting from that point of view.
No, that's great. It's a rare opportunity to meet.
Well, given we're spread across the world, there aren't many opportunities for us all to get together at the same time. Not that it's just the moderator speaking. I should mention that Sharon Hartle, who often takes part in ELT chat, is also speaking as well. We had quite a lot of people actually put forward proposals for speaking, but unfortunately, in 2.5 hours, you're very limited to what you can include. So we really wanted to plan something that sort of went from the beginning with the roots of ELT chat, that finishes up with sort of talking about online conferencing and how now doing online conferencing, you know, is possible and has opened up this whole new world. So we really did think hard about the kind of talks that we'll have in it and how it will sort of flow through the 2.5 hours of the symposium.
You mentioned that, of course, not all of our loyal ELT chatters can be there in person. Is there a way that those people can still get involved in the symposium?
Well, hopefully, the plan is to have a live ELT chat as such. I mean, ELT chat as a hashtag is live 24/7 anyway. The symposium is scheduled for the Thursday of IATEFL. So I imagine that instead of our usual Wednesday lunchtime chat, lunchtime for me, then we'll move it to during the symposium itself. I remember last year at IATEFL, we realized that, you know, quite a lot of people that took part in ELT chat were at IATEFL, so we couldn't have our regular chat. So we're hoping that if we have a special live chat during the symposium, it'll be a two-way process that people attending will be tweeting out either through the ELT hashtag or through the IATEFL hashtag, which runs during the conference. And then, you know, people can join in through Twitter itself. As often happens, you know, when people are running professional development sessions, you know, often the question is, are you there? Can you tell me why you use Twitter? So we hope that we can extend that kind of thing. There'll be a room full, I'm sure, of people that use lots of social networking and are very tech savvy people. So I would also anticipate that other things might spring up during the time, bits of audio, bits of video, and perhaps making use of other social networking tools out there. But we've already got it planned how we're going to do the live chat from within the conference itself, using the hashtag.
And there's also, I think you have to make an announcement, a more social announcement of one aspect of the ELT chat symposium.
Yes, well, the symposium is on the Thursday. I should point out, of course, that while we'd love people to come for the whole 2.5 hours of the symposium, you can pop in and out of that. But for those of you that perhaps like the more social aspect of it, we'll be having a party as well. We, on the Tuesday night of IATEFL, in conjunction with Oxford University Press, we are hosting a party in a place called Horton's Bar on West George Street in Glasgow. Apparently it's a cocktail bar, and there'll be free drinks and food. OUP, who are co-hosting the event with us, have designed a special golden cocktail for it, and they say there are going to be prizes and things going on during that. So we thought that the idea for that came from the fact that there's always these informal tweet-ups that occur during conferences, with so many of us now going to the major conferences, that we might as well formalize it. And, you know, if somebody's prepared to pay for food and drink, then we might as well have a party. So Tuesday the 20th of March in the evening, there'll be an ELT chat / OUP social networking party, and people can find out more information from that as we get closer to IETF itself. There'll be information going on the blogs, but if anybody really wants to find out information about it now, then they can tweet us or tweet OUP ELT Global, and they'll tell you more about it. But certainly, if you're going to be in Glasgow on the Tuesday night, then head to Horton's Bar for a social networking party.
Sounds fantastic.
Well, I'm sure it would be sounds fantastic at the time, and in the morning, knowing IETFL and knowing the ELT chatters, it won't be so fantastic when we're all hungover.
And speak for yourself.
Right. Okay. I'll look for you Wednesday morning. Yeah.
And we do have some tentative podcast plans, don't we? We haven't quite finalised them yet, but we're thinking about some things we can do with the podcast during the conference as well.
So, yeah, I mean, the major conferences are a time when a lot of ELT chat people get together, but we also realise that, you know, not everybody can go to IETFL. So hopefully the plans will be to try and get as many of the people that take part of the ELT chat interviewed, and sort of provide records of the days as we go through. I mean, it does depend on, obviously, the time of the podcast compilers, yourself and the people who do the interviews. But there's definitely plans in place for podcasts and other things to come out of the conference as we go along. I think it is one of the responsibilities of ELT Chat, and sort of combining ourselves with the fact that we are doing this symposium on social networking and continuous professional development. I think this conference, it should be able to prove to people that follow us, and perhaps people that are new to ELT chat, what can happen by putting a group of people that are linked on social network together. So the podcast is one way of being able to bring the conference experience to people, and I really hope that we'll be able to do something with that. Certainly talking to you and the ideas that you're bouncing around, then I think people can look forward to a fair bit coming from the conference.
So if you're an ELT chatter and you're going to be at the IETFL conference, then please do look out for me, and I'd like to grab 5 minutes of your time just for a quick interview.
Yeah, certainly. And I think anybody who's listening to this podcast thinks, oh, I'd really like to know, I'm not going to IETFL, but I wonder if they can do that. I mean, I think we're still open for ideas and things as suggestions that we could do during that time. So if they've got an idea, they should just sort of tweet into the chat stream or contact you directly with ideas that they might like to have in the podcast.
Absolutely. Okay, so thanks a lot, Sean.
No, thank you for your time, James. Good to talk to you.
There's lots for us to look forward to in Glasgow, so hopefully our listeners will have they'll find out all kinds of things going on with the ELT chat.
Yeah, they should look. I mean, to coincide with this podcast going out, we'll put a blog post up with more details of the talks. Obviously, if people are going to IETFL, they've probably got the program now and they can see what the talks are within the symposium. But we'll certainly be using our blogs and the ELT chat hashtag to give more information about what we're planning and our talks and the events taking place on Tuesday night.
Okay, cheers, Sean.
Thanks a lot, James. Speak to you soon.
Last month saw the introduction of a new aspect of ELT chat, the blog challenge. Inspired by a tweet by Tara Benwell, we asked people to blog about bookmarking and dealing with all the information that comes our way. Alinda Gyondadei spoke to Tara to find out how it went.
Hello everyone, I'm Alinda Gyondadei, and I'm speaking with Tara Benwell, a loyal ELT chatter. During the ELT chat about advantages and disadvantages of social networking for language teachers, you made a very interesting proposal about PLN blog challenges. How did this start?
Well, anyone who knows me knows that I'm always challenging English learners and teachers to write blog posts on a central topic. So on EnglishClub.com, where I am the administrator, we do a monthly writing challenge with English learners. And I think the word challenge has really helped English learners get on board with blogging. And I know that there are a number of members of our PLN who will accept a good blog challenge, and it's fun when we all write about the same topic. So, I find that bookmarking is one of the things that I'm always trying to find a better site for or a better system for, and I've never really been great at bookmarking. I'm kind of disorganized. So I figured, why not put the challenge out there and see if some members of our PLN would accept.
Great. How were the responses? Did the members of our PLN responded to this challenge?
We did have a few responses, and the ones that we got were really excellent, because I did actually ask for a demo, which can take some time. And we've had a number of people write in and include a little demo or a few screenshots. And we even had a few who had already written about bookmarking or about a site that they use that really helps. And that was just as good. If they've already written one, then they don't need to write another one, right? So, yeah, it was excellent.
Great. I really loved Chu's post who talked about Read It Later. It's really useful, and you can use it on Chrome and synchronize your bookmarks at your tablet, PC, or smartphone. Did you enjoy this post?
Yes, I love Chu's writing, and I find his posts really interesting. In fact, I've asked him to rewrite one of his posts in a lower level for English learners, and he is currently working on it. It's the one about photography that he wrote for ELT Picks, which is another member of our PLN through ELT Chat. And this particular one that he wrote about bookmarking was really great. He also enjoys Scoop It, like I do. And Read It Later, I just love the topic, or sorry, the name of it, Read It Later. It sounds like exactly what I do when I'm bookmarking. To be honest, I haven't tried it yet, but I think you tried it. Is that right?
Yes, I tried it. Really useful. Really useful. I had it in my iPad and on my iPhone and on my Google Chrome, so I can synchronize my three devices and I can have all my bookmarks whenever I go.
Oh, that sounds excellent. I'm going to try it and see if I can get it to sync with my MacBook and my iPad. It will be really helpful, especially for going to something like the TESOL conference, which is coming up in March. So I'm going to try it. Thanks, Chu.
Tara, what bookmarking tool do you recommend?
Okay, well, the one that I wrote about is Scoop It. As I mentioned in my post, I'm really trying to concentrate on using one in 2012. Part of the problem is there's so many great bookmarking tools out there, and I just keep trying different ones, but I don't stick to it. So the thing I love about Scoop It is that it's really visual, and you can see everything. It looks nice. It's easy to find. When I use the Chrome bookmarks or anything else, I just find it's a lot of text, and it's hard to stay organized. But with Scoop It, it looks really good. You have a little image with each post so that you can remember what they're about, and you can customize the post. So you can use the autofill, so it just fills in the bookmarks itself, or you can type anything you want in the title or in the description. You can also just share it so easily, and you can tag it, which is my favorite part, I think. So if I want to tag different bookmarks based on different subjects, such as technology, or I do the site of the month reviews for TEFL.net and EnglishClub.com. So if I have something that I find while I'm on Twitter or Facebook, then I can just quickly add it and tag it site of the month, and I can review it later.
Great. That sounds great.
Thank you. thanks to Alinda and Tara for updating us on last month's blog challenge. And now, to announce this month's blog challenge, I have Bethany Cagnell on the line. So Beth, what can we expect from this month's blog challenge?
I think it's going to make a lot of eyebrows go up, in fact, because the announcement is it's my first lesson plan.
Great. So can you give us an idea of what you mean by our first lesson plan?
What I mean by that is our very first lesson plan. We have to go back to the very beginning, and we have to go down to the cellar and dig out our very first lesson plan that we used with our students.
Wow. Some of us might have to go back quite a long way, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I had to actually go down to the wine cellar to find mine, and there it was packed away, and it's pretty interesting actually.
You go down to the wine cellar. That's so French.
Actually, you know what's kind of sad, because we go down to the wine cellar, it's actually a real wine cellar that we have in our apartment, but we don't keep any wine in it. We're the only ones in our building that don't keep wine in the wine cellar.
Just old lesson plans.
Right? Just old lesson plans and yeah, boxes.
Okay, so we've got your first lesson plan on the EL Teacher website now. So can you just describe it to us for a bit there?
Oh boy, well, I do apologize to anybody, but it's pretty great. I'm very happy to donate my very first lesson plan to ELT Chat, and I hope that other people will join in and scan and send in their lesson plans. But upon looking at this particular lesson plan, it really surprised me. Looking at it, I looked at it just about a week ago, and this is a lesson plan that goes back to 2002, so 10 years ago. Boy, do I feel old now. 10 years ago, I did this lesson plan, and I swear to you, I remember writing this lesson plan, and I swear to you, I remember it being longer. I don't remember it being so short. I was actually quite surprised and a little bit sort of surprised that I let, for instance, I left 10 minutes for small talk and 5 minutes for presenting a syllabus, but then 20 minutes for dialogue journals and 10-minute break and things like that ended up not taking that amount of time to begin with. For instance, the small talk lasted 2 minutes instead of 10, and presenting the syllabus took, you know, 2 minutes instead of 5. And I do remember thinking back on that time. I do remember having gobs of time left over with me thinking, oh boy, what am I going to do now? So I was actually quite surprised to see how little I had planned for, because it was a 2-hour class. And for instance, the greetings I put for 20 minutes. And how do you greet people for 20 minutes with a number of students? And there were only 4 students. But I was just surprised that I had given myself so much freedom, so much liberty. In fact, somebody emailed me about it just not, you know, too long ago. I think it was you, James, who said it sort of looks like a dogma lesson plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that actually, yeah, because it is not that dissimilar to what I do now. But but at the same time, you put things in there which are really kind of small, you know, like really, really small details that we would just do, I guess, without even thinking about it now.
Yes.
And then a lot of the details that you would expect people to pay a lot of attention to at the beginning are not there. So it's kind of, it's really interesting, I think.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so we're going to extend this challenge now to the ELT chatters. So what would you like to see from our ELT chatters in this blog challenge?
Well, I would like to see everybody, in fact, as many people as possible, submitting their own lesson plans. They've got to take a little bit of time to go down to their wine cellars and dig out those old lesson plans and see if they can find it, to, you know, take a walk down memory lane and have a look at the lesson plan and try to put themselves back at that very moment. How did they feel? For instance, like what I want to see others doing is I would really like to see them reflect on how did they feel before they taught that class? How did they feel during? And of course, how did they feel afterwards? Because especially those of us who've been at it for I would say 5, 10, 15 years, we're still doing it. We're still, we still experience that pre-class adrenaline. And I think we're all sort of hooked on it. And I would love for people to reflect on that and tell us why and give us some, bring us back to that very moment.
That sounds great. And of course, we'd love to see as many people contribute to the blog challenge as possible. So look for it on the ELT chat website. And we're really looking forward to see what people come up with.
Me too.
Now it's time for another of Vicky Loris's interviews, and this time she's talking to one of our most dedicated ELT chatters, Icha Sarwano. She began by asking her to tell us something about where she's from.
I'm Indonesia, of course. Actually, my father is a Javanese and my mom is a Sundanese, but I grew up, I was born and raised in Jakarta, went to school all in Jakarta, so yeah, I'm a Jakarta girl.
So do you also teach in Jakarta, and what level students do you have?
Okay, so when I first started teaching, I actually taught teenagers classes. It was back in 2001 and something like that. But I changed my course to the early learners, to the kindergarten, in 2008. And before that, when I was teaching, you know, teenagers and children, I taught in Jakarta. But since I moved to teach in kindergarten, I have been have the privilege to travel around Indonesia and teach in, you know, places like in Bali and in Lombok and in Sumatra. But for the past 2 years, I stay in Jakarta and teach here in Jakarta also. Because I'm in Montessori, Montessori kind of school, and it's a kindergarten, so I've been teaching from the baby classes up to kindergarten, but the class that I have now since the early of here is a kindergarten.
How did you make that switch from teenagers to young learners?
I've always loved, you know, teaching children, and one of my friends offered me to the opportunity to teach children. She said that even though I don't have any experience in teaching kindergarten, that I could learn. And they need somebody who with my vision, because back then they need somebody who can also you know, teach everywhere, like, I mean, like around Indonesia. And you know, I've always been, you know, in love with traveling, and I thought this is a good chance for me to not only learn about, you know, teaching children, you know, young learner, but also learn more about Indonesia and my culture. So I took the job, you know, work my butt off to try to, you know, understand everything about you know, early childhood development, and so here I am now.
How did you find out about ELT chat, and do you remember your first one, or one that had an impact on you?
Okay, I think the first time that I joined ELT chat, because Barbara Saka, I followed her on Twitter. And she is, of course, the moderator, one of the moderators on ELT chat. And I saw her post and decided to join it. I think I first joined it on 2010, around February or something, because it was still like an early ELT chat, around February or March, I forgot. But that was the first time, and I've enjoyed it since. Sometimes on August or something, I you know, kind of brace myself to, you know, volunteer and writing the summary, and I've been addicted to it. I think I'm one of the only person who like to like contribute on writing it, and asking Marisa or somebody else is there, like, could I, you know, make a summary on this week or something like that, because, you know, I love doing it, and I love being part of it. I love all the people there. I love the knowledge I get there, and I enjoy all the chat there. Even if I have to like stand up in the middle of the crowded bus only in one hand, only typing from my phone. I still enjoy it.
That's great. It was very, very interesting talking to you today, Icha, and see all the things you do. Would you like to close with a thought or a wish for all the teachers out there who are listening to you, or anything you like to tell them?
Okay, first of all, I would love and wish so much for Teacher Indonesia to be more active in this kind of thing, because, you know, I know that there's a lot of good teachers in Indonesia, dedicated teachers in Indonesia, but for a reason, we just like closing down ourselves to like our own community, you know, because I haven't seen a lot of Indonesian teachers in ELT chat or any other thing that I've joined. So I would love so much for teachers, especially in Indonesia, to, you know, try to open themselves to something new and not afraid to learn, because I know one of the reasons why, you know, Indonesian teachers probably don't want to join ELT chat because They are afraid not to be heard. They are afraid, you know, that they don't feel matter there. I just want to say that, you know, they have to be like that, because look at me, I'm just a kindergarten teacher and here I am. So and this goes to show that everyone deserves, you know, a chance, and everyone will get a chance if they want to try.
Definitely, and every teacher matters, because whatever they do, it's amazing work. They even give their own free time for it. So it's very important for us to meet new teachers and communicate with them.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, Icha, very, very much for your time and for your interesting for your interesting interview.
Okay.
And see you online.
Yeah, I will.
That brings us to the end of this month's Bumper Podcast. I'd like to thank my guests, Sean, Tara, Beth, and Icha, as well as my pod squad of Sandy, Elinda, and Vicky. Make sure you go to eltchat.com and follow the links to their blogs and Twitter pages. And while you are there, you can find links to subscribe to the program, including iTunes, and listen to previous programs. Look out for uncut versions of their interviews coming up in the next month, and I really recommend those. There's some great stuff there for your listening pleasure. Thanks for listening. My name is James Taylor, and I'll be seeing you on Twitter on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. and 9 p.m. GMT for ELT Chat at IATFO in Glasgow, and I hope you can join us next time on the ELT Chat podcast.